It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 702. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. And you can also go to You can go to instanthousecall.com directly and download the free trial and use the promo code MikeTechShow. I have a story I'm going to talk about right now that just popped into my head. Then I'm going to talk about a utility to unlock an account on Windows 10. And I have some other stories of the trenches and some tools that we use for working on computers. I'm going to talk about one that's very important when you're working on all-in-ones. I got a couple emails and that's it. But I want to get to the story from last night. Today, we were scheduled to be on site in Center City, Philadelphia, which means it's not far because I'm outside the city in the suburbs. It's not far to get in, but the traffic, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare to park. You've seen Parking Wars. And if you haven't, you know, Philadelphia is prominent in there. It costs a fortune. It's a horrible drive in and out. And I have a law firm that needed Office 365 upgraded, and we were scheduled to be on site today. But you know what my son and I did? Yesterday, at the end of the day, we sat here and remoted in with Instant House Call on all the 6 systems and completely uninstalled Office 2010, installed Office 365, and of course, you have to reboot in the middle of this process. And then we had to test the legal case management software Needles, and because we're preparing for an upgrade that's happening in October. So they all have to be Office 365. Then there's this Needles add-in, and you got a special registry utility that they have to register all the DLLs. We knocked it out in a couple hours at the end of the day yesterday, and it saved a trip going in and all those additional expenses and time wasted. And that's the value of Instant House Call, because we were able to completely accomplish that remotely and not on site. Had to bring that up because that was big yesterday. And I'm here recording the show because of Instant House Call, or I would be on site with a client. And now we have our weekend. So now, a utility that we ran into, a dental office. Somebody reset the password for the main account. It's not Active Directory domain. It's all a peer-to-peer work group. But that local account, we only had the one, and we could not log in. And this is in one of the exam rooms. So there is a process that I used to discuss for Windows 7, and I had links where you can boot up with the recovery CD, get to a command prompt, copy some files for the util man, and there's a process where then you can boot and you can get to an admin command prompt and you can create an account, change a password. You got all kinds of great options. It's a process and it takes a few minutes to happen, but you don't need any third-party utilities. Well, I was in search of what is the perfect third-party utility that you can purchase that you can make a bootable USB and accomplish the same thing very simply. and this absolutely works. We tested it, and it has worked 100% of the time, and the program is PC Unlocker. Now, you can get the simple version for $29.95, but I bought the enterprise version because what if it's an admin account on a domain? It was worth the $50, you know, for the program. So the first link for the show is going to be pcunlocker.com. You build a USB stick, but I'm going to give you a tip. When it boots up, you have the option of resetting a password. It wasn't clean. It's easier to pick an admin account and pick copy and make a new admin account and assign a new password, then log in as that account and then reset the password of the other one. So create a new account as an admin and then get in. It keeps it cleaner and it's simpler. And we've had 100% success rate. So my son went down there with actually a spare system that they wanted to purchase because they never want to be in this situation again. So this is a great idea. We put an account on there that only the dentist and his main admin know the password. And of course we do. And one of the things my son did was hit every system and created a secondary admin account with a password that no one knows except the main dentist, ourselves, his main assistant. So we created that back door in, and what came up was we set up a system that is now sitting in a closet as a spare. So if something goes wrong, no matter what it is, it doesn't matter. They can quickly unplug it, go to the closet, grab this one that's already set up with their software and all the shares and everything that's needed, and just put it in place, connect it up, they're up and running. So I like that. Then we also had scheduled some remote maintenance, so because instant house calls on every system. And the weekend after that, my son logged into every system, made sure that secondary account was there, did cleaning, renewed all the malware bytes that needed to be renewed, and away we go. And he was happy, and we sold another computer. Which brings up, there are more desktop new sales, not just refurb, but this week we had two systems crash. For one was a brand new client that we met because of this crash, and another one, someone I hadn't heard from for a long time, called me, their system crashed, and it was a sole proprietor attorney that she works out of her house. And what I've done is we purchased new Dell Optiplexes. We like the 5060s, very nice, and installed them, got everything set. Now, here's the story from yesterday. The one client that the system was having terrible problems was a Dell all-in-one. Now, everybody who knows, who works on computers, the all-in-ones can be a nightmare sometimes to get into and open up, and a zillion screws. Well, this is where this utility, this actually looks like almost like a knife, but it's flexible. And this I will have linked, that is a must-have for your bag. And that is from iFixit. And it's that tool that helps you pry apart the plastic or items that are together. We can't live without that iFixit tool. As a matter of fact, we have three of them. I make sure there's one here in our office, and then there's one in my bag and one in my son's bag. And yesterday, or actually the day before, he reviewed the video of opening and cracking open that all-in-one to get to the hard drive. Because you want to take the hard drive out and connect it to the new system, run FABS Auto Backup 7 Pro in order to transfer all the data. Because you don't want to do a double transfer. And the system kept crashing, so there was some kind of hardware issue. And you don't want to be in the middle of transferring and that happening. So we got to get the hard drive out of the system. And when you looked at the video, this guy was struggling with using these little plastic tools and opening up the back of the all-in-one. My son said when he used that iFixit tool, it was a piece of cake. And he opened it up very quickly and was able to get that hard drive out, transferred everything. I remoted in to finish off some of the custom software that they had that required some configuration because one was a SQL database and there were some other complications. So my son was on site for 5 hours and two of them, I was doing work remotely with them. We got them up and running and this is now a new client that is extremely happy. But that iFixit tool, which is very inexpensive, and also I recommend taking a look at all their tools. I love it. If you see a tool on iFixit, I own it. I bought it because they are lifesavers. They understand how to open up all hardware and work on it. So all those screwdrivers, all those Torx, all everything. And I recommend buying the big kit, the bundle, because you get this magnetic board that and a marker that you can actually make notes. And this is where you can put the screws in different quadrants and mark where you got them. Or you can lay out the screws in the pattern that you took them out. And they're not going to move because this is a magnetic board that you can put the screws on. Oh, this is a lifesaver when you're opening up a laptop and you got, you know, 10, 15 screws sometimes. Or one of the older MacBook Pros that you're opening up. It's a lot of work and you got to keep track of the screws. And that board, just having that magnetic board in your tool bag to be able to circle and make notes if there was complications on one or two, lifesaver. And I bet you anybody that's listening to this, if you got a repair shop, you probably already have these tools. If you didn't buy them from iFixit, you got something very compatible. So iFixit.com, I think it's required to take a look at what they offer. They're not a sponsor or anything, although they probably should be because I love their products. Take a look at that. You're going to fall in love with some of the tools. In the middle of a migration for email for a nonprofit historical society in the area, it's why you want to take care of everybody. I helped with a church, and I believe in karma, and I didn't charge the church for doing work. And it's not even my church, not even my denomination, but we do work for this church in the area. And it just so happens that the accountant that does their books needed help. And I've gotten two clients, including one that he works for, this historical society, that there's this big historical property that they rent out for weddings and things because it's very, very old. And it looks beautiful. So they have a few people there. Now, unbeknownst to me, one of the people, one of the new persons that is now in the office, needed to renew their email and domain for GoDaddy. So they don't call me. They have the regular free GoDaddy email or whatever that, you know, whatever the low end, you know, workspace email. They are talked into Office 365. Now, that's not a bad thing. You know, they're going to get an upgrade for email. But now there's a whole ripple effect of the DNS that has to change. So that's when I get the phone call. And I take a look at what they want to do and when they want to do it. So over the weekend, actually last night, I made sure I had the account information for GoDaddy. Yesterday, I logged in because they live on the web, and I made sure that Outlook was configured. They had Outlook 2010 on the system. I made sure it was configured so to bring all the email down via POP, so now none of the old email is lost. Got that. Now I had to make the DNS change, but somebody in the past set up Wix for the website and used that. Wix was the name servers. So I couldn't make, now this is GoDaddy asking us to make a DNS change under a domain that's managed and owned by GoDaddy. I could not make the DNS change because the name servers weren't local to GoDaddy. So the tip, before you do that, you got to use viewdns.info. And I've talked about this site along for many years, and I will add it to the show notes. This is a critical site that you get a DNS report of everything that's set. So in order for me to add this text record to the DNS, I had to take ownership. We had to make the domain DNS, the name servers, local for GoDaddy. And once I did that, I had to quickly add the A record so their website would work, and then the MX records that were there. Then I added the text record. So we're now ready for the Monday migration where GoDaddy's going to move them to Office 365, and then there's going to be other DNS entries, of course, I got to make to the MX records. The key is that website, and there's many, many other things, all DNS related, that I believe is critical for any operation, especially when I'm going to go to a new client. My first meeting, before I go there, I run viewdns.info and I run some reports on their domain so I get an idea. I already know where their website's being hosted, who owns the domain, like where, what registrar did they register it, and who's their email provider? Where's email coming from? Because you get to look at the MX records and then you can work backwards and see. So I get a nice recon. And I bring this up because I've just done it for a new client that my son and I are going to be visiting Tuesday afternoon. So before I walk in there, I already have some information which will impress them as we talk. And I say, for example, you know, they have XYZ email hosting. And I say, are you happy with XYZ? And their eyes will look up. And I'm like, well, that's public information from your domain records and DNS. And I made sure to take a look at everything. And 100% of the time, the new client that I'm discussing that with is impressed that I'm already armed. I did my homework on my own on certain things. Now, of course, I was never in the site. So I go over my process of what we want to do to be able to examine all the systems and, you know, take me to your network closet, you know. But the first thing I have before I'm asking for all those things, I'm sitting down and I'm saying, what are your pain points? What do you want to have accomplished? What brought you to look for IT support? And that's where I learned, you know, did they have someone that, you know, that doesn't respond, or they cost too much, or we have, you know, who took care of you up to now? And then we move forward. And I have my process. And this way they get to meet my son and I, and they have three locations, this company. So hopefully next week, the next show on Thursday, I'll have a nice positive story on obtaining a new client with three locations. So that's Tuesday. Monday, I got the migration. We also have two new desktops going into a retainer client that we're going to be doing the upgrade. That's Monday morning. I mean, my week's already booked next week, but I have something that's coming up with one of my clients. They have two servers that are Windows Server 2008 R2 Service Pack 1. And here's where I need your help. It's not Active Directory. They are workstation. They are work group servers. This predates when I've been on site. I've been on site a long time now. It's time to replace the servers. I am going to get new servers, and that will be Active Directory from scratch, and that we can have single sign-on with their main app. The goal is to get this done before the end of the year. And here's my question. Is there a way to export all of the accounts and passwords from a work group server that I can then import into a new server. Because one of the problems, they have to have a local password on their workstation. They have to have a password that's local on each of the servers. So we have to make it where they can't expire and they can't change them because there's too many places to change them. And then they have this big app that they use that has the ability for single sign-on, but we can't leverage it because they have no domain. Now, one of the things that I've done this past year, they had some Windows 7 home systems on this network. Well, you can't announce that to a domain. So now, with the Windows 7 ending, with 2008 support ending, for just compliance sake, we have been upgrading to Windows 10, all of the hardware. We're done. We now have Windows 10 Pro on every workstation. I now have to put some new servers in place, and I don't want to have to recreate all of the accounts. What tool, doesn't have to be free, hopefully not too expensive. What tool, what process have you used to export that information from a server and then import? I know RoboCopy will work with files and shares with the proper command line, and I know there's a GUI interface for RoboCopy. There's a utility, I can't remember what it is, that worked with, I believe it was Active Directory when I was in the corporate world. I know one of my network engineers used a utility. I can't remember what it was, but what will work on a work group to be able to do that export? I could use your help. And email me, miketechshow@gmail.com. You give me the right utility that I test and it works, I will hook you up and take care of you with a gift. All right. From Mike Cooley, Taz Cools in the chat, or my moderator, on spare endpoints, how often do you update them? That's a great question. I believe they should be updated quarterly. So every 3 months, if they're not using it, we should plug it in. Some people would say once a month, which is probably a better idea. But I try to do that quarterly, and I would say I'm bad at that with doubling back and making sure that happens. But that's a great point that Mike brings up. When you have spare systems, you got to keep updating them. Like that software for the dentist, that updates. What about the Windows updates? Could you imagine plugging it in after 3 months, how long it would wait, you know, for the different updates? So we should plug that in after hours, do its updates, and make sure it's current. Then unplug it, put it back in the closet. It's a great point, Mike. Thank you. And I wanted to make sure I put that into the show. Two emails to finish out the show today. This is from Terry from Arizona. And this is Windows 10, 1703 to 1903. At work and for computers for people outside of work, I have used the media creation tool to upgrade to Windows 1903. I have even used it to upgrade computers inside and outside of work from Windows 7 to Windows 10, 1903. I am not even asked to put in a product key when upgrading Windows 7. Terry, that's a great tip. Thank you. And yes, I use the media creation tool all the time. And he, of course, picks the option to keep personal files. Now there's the update assistant, which will try to take you to the latest version. We have to pick a guinea pig from this one client that I mentioned that they're part of SBS 2011 Active Directory. And what we want to do is after we can't do a natural Windows update. They're sort of stuck at 1703 unless we bring something and do something different. So I am going to pick one system and do an in-place update assistant to see if I can take it right to 1903 with no issues. And if that works, then we'll hit all of them. And I will do this before the main software update that's happening in October, because I want everything nice and fresh and updated. And this is the client that has the Office 365 that we just installed, and I want to make sure they're all 1903. We're, you know, running on full cylinders, everything good, and then start their new case management software update. Terry, thank you. And the last link for the night is users report Windows 10 update causes high CPU usage. So now I know this is a problem for a lot of people. I've been reading this. I have not had clients complain of this, at least not yet. Like, maybe their systems are powerful enough to handle this CPU usage, but you want to take a look at this article. And by the way, this is from Pilot Phil. So thank you very much for that link, Phil. You want to look at this link because there's a registry edit that you can make that will fix it. So if you see the CPU cycle going way, way out of control, go to this registry entry first. Take a look, make that change, because Microsoft did something bad with Cortana and it's now causing high CPU utilization and just killing everybody. Thank you, Microsoft. So they continue to release updates without the proper vetting and testing. And we are their guinea pigs. We are their test bed in our production systems, which should not be. But this is the state that we're in. You've heard me talk about this. And this is across the board. This is Apple. This is Microsoft. They're not doing the proper testing before they quickly promote the code and go. So just wanted to vent a little bit on that. And that goes along with that article. The best way to support this show and Carrie Holzman and myself and Tech Vets and Carrie's videos is to use our shared Amazon link. That's in the show notes for every show. Click on that link before you add the items to your shopping cart, because when you check out and the items are shipped, we will get a small commission and it adds up and it really does help us. And please remember to use that link in our show notes. Click on it, then do your Amazon shopping. Anything you buy, anything you click on, a small percentage comes back. Your price stays the same, and that helps Carrie Holzman and myself, and we really appreciate it. Also, remember Instant House Call. You can download that. Go to instanthousecall.com and download your free 15-day trial. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. And I've already mentioned Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. You cannot work on a new system and move those settings and move those files without this. This is life-saving software for your business. And that's Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. Link is in the show notes. That's it, everybody. Have a great week. I will see you Thursday. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.